There's a lot to react to in just what you've said. I don't think foreign policy is an independent actor, actually. It doesn't have anything to say. It's what the country itself is, how it acts at home, and therefore how it pursues its policies in relations with other countries. Wearing the burqa or not at home is very much an issue. It's an internal affair, issue of cohesion of society. I think the French actually took their decision because they want to uphold the republican values of France. Not so much everyone feels cozy in the same space. But anyway, that's you can argue that. But I guess this is on North America, but one of the things I'm always so very conscious of, and I'm not a specialist in this issue, by the way, but it just happened to, I guess, have encountered it a lot recently in my last posting, is that what we're doing right now is having a discussion, a conversation on something which is very much a Western idea, or I don't want to say obsession, but very much something that's in the prominent anyway in Western European, North American countries. And I always think of Chinese or Japanese, for whom religion, I think the Chinese didn't even have a word for religion until the missionaries came. I mean, it's so we have to be conscious of that, because spirituality or the relation with the above is something that's inherent, I'm sure, around the world. But therefore, it's very much an intimate issue. It's a national issue. It's a regional issue. But to make it an issue of policy, therefore related to actions that states may take versus others, it's a very big step, and one has to be very careful with that, which is why I don't entirely agree with everything you've quoted about Elizabeth Hurst. She does have a point about not making religious freedom something which is a further irritant in how we deal with other how a country deals with another situation in another country. And I'll just we talked a lot the context at home of secularity or laïcisme or laïcité is of course very relevant. I was saying yesterday you have to be coherent. If at home you don't allow a young boy of 12 years old to play soccer with a head covering, how can you go and preach abroad about religious freedom of a religious expression? So there is obviously a link. But 2 years ago now, at the Holy See, they brought back every single bishop from the Middle East, well, North Africa, Middle East, to talk about the situation of Christians in the Middle East. And I heard several bishops in Iraq, Syria, making the point that they wanted a secular state where they were living, because they used the original, for them, a secular state as opposed to a society, has the responsibility to offer protection to individuals belonging to different religions. So it's crucial for them. So again, when we talk about secularity, secular state, we have to, as you've pointed out, Robert, we have to, I think, pin down always what we mean and also in what country we're placing it. I haven't read the articles by Doug Saunders, and you said, sadly, he wrote, well, the content may be controversial, but I should rejoice that someone actually takes the time to write about the issue and to put it forward for people to debate, because there hasn't been much written until now. I don't know if I heard right, but you said he called for the removal of faith from the state. I don't think that states have faith, really.
I don't know whether religious freedom needs to be seen as a distinct right.
Okay, well, then it is a basic right of the individual, not of the state. And in the conversation we've been having, we tend, I think, to treat equally religious freedom, freedom of religion. We tend to think state, whereas in my view, we should always be thinking of individuals. And you went over the defamation of religion discourse in the UN, which I referred to yesterday. And that's a very basic, it's a very basic disagreement. But as Ambassador Mehrema was saying yesterday about Egypt, we focus on the individual, the protection of rights of the individual in a state that allows these protections and, I think, perforce these rights that include freedom of expression, of religious expression, will be covered. In terms of religion and foreign policy, what I see happening since really the disintegration, I think, well, in 1979, the return of Khomeini to Iran, let's say, and the disintegration of the Soviet Union, I see that in the change that happened in many, many countries, the element of religious in the identity of various groups, nations, etc., became far more prominent. And we, and I'll say maybe in Canada, where we've been rather unused to pay much attention to this item, then rediscovered it. I think this is much behind the prise de conscience, and then the pressure that built up and finally led governments, let's say in Canada, to ramp up the visibility of how we treat the issue in foreign policy. There are some nuances here, I think, that are important to keep in mind so as to not make religious freedom a sort of a big hammer that we use in our relations with other countries. Andrew Bennett is not here but at the moment, but when you talked about the Office of Religious Freedom and what is the ambassador's approach to certain things, I'll just say personally, after 40 years in the Foreign Service or for the Canadian government, we don't take a personal approach. What we do is very much grounded in the policy of the government. There's a foreign policy context, a framework where objectives are spelled out, and I think there's a certain way to do things, there's a certain latitude, but generally it's a whole of government approach. I think it's important to make that point. I think I'll leave my remarks here. Thank you.